And I'm delighted to be here this week. I'm so glad that Carol asked me to sub for her because it's going to be an exciting and busy hour. Our first guest is Ivy Ross Ritchie. She's playing with singer-songwriter Laura Gibson at the Sou'wester Lodge this evening. Sou'wester Lodge in Seaview in just a few hours at 8 p.m. Ivy, thanks for coming in.
Oh, well, David, I'm delighted to be here.
And if you could just give us a taste of what you're going to be playing tonight, that would be great. I see you brought your guitar.
Yes.
So you're all set.
I'd love to play you a number.
Okay.
This one is called Girls Sit Screaming. But don't worry, you don't need to move the microphone. I'm not going to scream.
Okay.
I saw that trepidation. What are we getting ourselves into here? Okay. Looks so easy for the boys to make noise while the girls sit screaming in their seats silently, scared to eat. Why should she feel afraid to take up space? And why have we created a place where the girls don't know their own grace? Must be nice to think the world is yours, to walk right through the open doors and get paid at least what you are worth, then run around without a shirt. Why isn't she getting paid for the work that she made? And why is a mother feeding her babe any cause? Oh, any cause. They'll read in libraries in future kind. We were strong in so many ways. Moments of endless days. And we others made.
My gosh, what powerful lyrics. And I think particularly appropriate for the times we're living in.
Thank you.
Talk about the inspiration, the genesis of that song, those
yes,
lyrics.
I would love to. So I'm especially excited about this song because just about 10 days ago, working with director Alicia J. Rose, we shot a music video in Portland starring a cast of mostly 10 to 15-year-old girls. And so that's right now getting edited and should be out within the month. When I wrote that song, I sat down and wrote the song that I had needed to write for about 15 years about my experience as a woman in the music field, both growing up, surrounded by male musicians that received a lot of attention for their work. But then continuing on into my 20s and 30s, just noticing the difference in the ways that women and men were received both in the music field, and then, you know, you cast your gaze a little broader and can see how these trends and double standards exist in most fields.
I think as men, we take it for granted.
Yeah.
We really take it for granted that, what are they complaining about? You know, it's we've come so far. Well, no, as recent events suggest and really illustrate quite starkly, we haven't.
Well, we have a long way to go. I do think we've made progress, and I think that there's still a lot of work to do.
Now, tell us about your music in general. And when did you start writing music?
Well, I started writing songs in elementary school.
Wow.
I just always loved, I started with lyrics, basically rewriting lyrics to songs that existed.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And then my degree is actually in education and creative writing. So my access point to music, I started writing songs from a very young age and then had a lot of years of not writing songs for some of the reasons that I describe in the song, just basically not having really an audience or support. Although I must say, I have a family that's very supportive of my music, but the broader world is not the most welcoming place for young women musicians often. But I kept writing music, and my first instrument was the flute, which I started in elementary school. Mm-hmm. And then I moved on to piano.
Mm-hmm.
And it wasn't until I was 20 that I started playing stringed instruments, and then 21 started playing a trap kit, drums. And
oh, no kidding. My
now
gosh,
I just
you're a multi-instrumentalist.
Yeah, I get to play, and I get to teach, too. I get to share the spark.
You teach as well as play.
Yeah, I feel really honored. I get to teach at Youth Music Project just outside of Portland. I have a roster of about 50 students, and I get to teach drums and guitar and rock band, collaborative songwriting, piano. It's awesome.
That's the education part, then. You have your background in education.
Yeah, yeah.
Now, talk a little bit about the what we can expect in the show this evening.
Yes, well, I am so excited that I get to share an evening with Laura Gibson. She's a fantastic writer and musician. And, you know, the Sou'wester, we host live music there every Saturday. And so tonight, this is going to be a benefit show for our new nonprofit. A little shift that's happened is while the three pillars of the Sou'wester are really art, music, and wellness, and for quite a while now, the Sou'wester has been hosting wellness retreats and artist residencies and live music and arts programming on a weekly basis. But it's been formalized recently into a nonprofit. So the show tonight will be a by donation benefit for that nonprofit. It's really inspiring what's happening out there at the Sou'wester. Essentially, it's a model for a kind of tourism that is about engaging rather than escaping. And the wellness component and the arts and music component is really about how, with self-care and creativity, we're able to engage in an authentic way. And it's just a lot of artists and very creative thinkers out there making stuff happen.
So it's a place you would visit to go to something rather than get away from something.
Exactly. Exactly.
To it's a restorative.
Yes.
A restorative
yes.
Type of retreat. Now, is the nonprofit status going to apply to the Sou'wester as a whole or just to the program?
Well, the nonprofit is, I can't say a separate entity because it's all connected, but the Sou'wester as a business, as a hotel and place where people go and, you know, rent rooms or cabins or trailers is one thing, but then
those trailers are just great.
Yeah, they're fantastic. But yeah, then the nonprofit is specifically geared towards the artist residencies and also the new art trailer where there's a gallery. There's
art
a new,
trailer.
Yeah,
really?
There's a new gallery, a trailer gallery, art gallery. And then, of course, the live music and on a weekly basis. And we do full festivals also on approximately a quarterly basis.
Uh-huh.
Music festivals.
Now you say, when you talk about the Sou'wester, you say we.
Yes.
So are you working with the Sou'wester in some capacity?
Yes. I've been a part of the Sou'wester team since Tondi bought it in about almost 6 years ago. And so Currently, I curate the music there. So,
and what's involved with that?
Well, I connect with and schedule all of the live music acts that happen every Saturday. And, oh. and most of those are free and open to the public. Mm-hmm. Every now and again, there is a special event or a ticketed festival. But for the most part, every single Saturday at 8 p.m. in the lodge, there is live music.
That's every single Saturday.
Every
yeah,
single Saturday.
I know
Saturday.
We read a lot of Sou'wester announcements here at the Coast Community Radio.
Yeah, and sou'westerlodge.com has the full schedule of events.
Mm-hmm. Wow. So you have a lot of irons in the fire. As well as being the curator of the music program there at the Sou'wester, you also work, you teach youth music mm-hmm. through music, the Youth Music Project.
Mm-hmm.
Youth Music Project.
Which is also a nonprofit, which is extraordinary because it serves over 800 students each term, which each 10-week term, and any child on free or reduced lunch gets free lessons.
Oh, really?
Yes. So it's...
And there are a lot of kids who fill those qualifications.
Yes.
Meet those criteria.
Yes.
And I've seen that you're a youth development activist.
Yes.
And also a yoga instructor. How does all this tie into the music?
Well, at this juncture, my yoga practice is really my own. I, after practicing for about 15 years, my teachers told me that it was time for me to start teaching. So I went ahead and did that. And that time span was about 5 years ago. And as soon as I finished my training, I was being hired to teach in Hawaii and Santa Fe. So it really picked up quickly. And I tend to follow the path of least resistance sometimes when it comes to work that I enjoy. And so I kept getting offered these amazing work opportunities teaching yoga. And then at a certain point, I decided to really rein it in and start focusing on music again, because I believe in my experience, yoga, the function of yoga was to help me do what I'm here to do more efficiently and mindfully and lovingly. And so what I believe I'm here to do is play music and write songs that uplift and inspire and initiate young musicians into doing the same. So the yoga helped me get really delightfully back on track with that. And now I just have my own daily practice of yoga and meditation that really informs my day to day.
I am married to a practitioner and enjoyer of yoga. And she has many of the same benefits that you just outlined there. In fact, has suggested strongly and frequently that I should take it up myself. I'm afraid I would get into downward dog, and it would the downward part would become
permanently
downward
dog. You just start with happy puppy.
Happy. Well, I haven't heard of that one yet. I'll have to ask. Happy puppy. It does sound like it's not too difficult.
It's like the child's pose version of downward dog.
Oh, okay. Okay, yeah, that would be a good place for me to start, I think. So the show is at 8 o'clock tonight.
Yes, 8
at
o'clock.
The Sou'wester, and the Sou'wester is over in Seaview.
It is. On J Place, yeah.
If you're coming into Seaview, after you cross the bridge, after you go through Ilwaco,
yep.
Take a look on the left.
That's right.
For J Place, and it's about a block,
yeah,
I think. So tonight at 8.
Tonight at 8, come check out Laura Gibson and me playing. It's going to be so fun, and look forward to seeing you there.
Well, Ivy Ross Ritchie, thanks so much for coming by and playing for us and talking to us.
Thank you.
And we have a little bit of Laura Gibson to take us out.
Yes.
Oh, see you tonight at 8 o'clock. Don't go away, folks. That's next up. We're going to talk about the Cannon Beach Arts Association with Caramico.
You could leave it all, would you drive me out west? We could settle down in some second place can make up stories of our childhood days out there. And I could be the queen of our small town parade. You could be the leader of a bold marching band. You could play the drum. I could wave my hand for the crowd. Tell me all about it when we're older. Can laugh at how I always told you life could be. Well, maybe I could turn you from your.
And we're back with Karamiko from the Cannon Beach Arts Association and Gallery. Thanks for stopping by.
Thank you for having me. I really appreciate the opportunity to talk about our programs.
Now, what is your position at the Cannon Beach Arts Association?
I am the program director.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So I help to coordinate the art gallery exhibits. I work with the volunteers.
Mm-hmm.
I'm also, I write grants. I do the fundraising.
Oh my gosh. You do it all.
Almost all of it. We have an arts education director, Megan Sokol, who is an amazing person. She's really wonderful and works to coordinate our workshops. And then we also have an intern, Summer, who is working on our marketing. So she does a lot of our social media work, and she's coming up with some really fun things to do. She does some videos, we have a really great team.
My gosh, it's quite an operation. What do we have that's coming up?
Oh, so much. We have something almost every day, but definitely at least every Saturday.
Mm-hmm.
So our workshop program, we have painting workshops, basket workshops. We've got a chainmail jewelry making workshop coming up, and that'll be on Wednesday evenings.
Chainmail jewelry.
Yeah. So it's weaving pieces of metal together to make bracelets, earrings, just a variety of jewelry. So, yeah, exactly. It's we really kind of cover the gamut in terms of arts. So we also have some really interesting workshops coming up in the summertime with grief. So processing
grief.
Yeah, processing grief through art. So we really try to offer something for everybody.
Wow.
Yeah.
What's one that's coming up in the near future?
In the nearest future, we have the chainmail jewelry. That's going to be on Wednesday. And then we have a painting workshop with Drenda Duff, who's just an amazing figurative and life drawing. She does really beautiful paintings and is quite a very talented artist. All of our artists are very talented. But we're trying to do something every Saturday. We hold our workshops at the History Museum, and that's a really great partnership for us. So that's in Cannon Beach, and it gets people into the museum, but then also it allows for us to offer them a quiet space with really beautiful lighting to paint and draw to their heart's content.
You mentioned the upcoming workshop going to be painting. Is it any particular medium or type of painting?
Yeah.
Is it oil or water or acrylic?
We offer all of them. This particular painting class is, I believe it's acrylic. She normally paints in oils, but I believe it's acrylic. We try not to do too many oil painting workshops because of the time it takes for the painting to dry.
Yeah, that's true.
So we have some, but they're generally in the summer and they're longer classes. Most of our classes are between 2 and 4 hours.
Oh, okay.
So I also, before I get too far down into the workshop, because I can talk about that all day, I want to mention that tomorrow at 6 o'clock in the gallery on Hemlock Street, 1064 Hemlock. We're having a special talk from the author of Coming In Over the Rock, Peter Lindsay. So he's
Saw something about that. Yes.
Yeah, he's going to be talking about his new book that he's in the process of writing. So it's a follow up to his first book, and it's really focusing on. There's a lot of imagery. He's going to be showing some of the images. The talk is going to have some a little short movie. And he's going to be selling some signed copies of his first book, and we're going to have beer. It's going to be a lot of fun.
And what's the topic of Coming In Over the Rock?
Well, that's his first book. So that one is really, it's kind of a similar to what his next book is going to be. It's a history of dory fishing in Cannon Beach. And so he has done a lot of interviews with fishermen, and he has a lot of photos, historical photos. So he's done a lot of research on the topic. And he actually received a pass-through grant from Mike Clark, who I think a lot of local residents know who Mike Clark is, but he provided a grant through us to give to Peter to help write his book. So we're celebrating his book, also his upcoming book, and then we're hoping to promote it so that we can help him raise funds to get the next book published.
So the Cannon Beach Arts Association also offers grants to members of the public.
We do. We offer a lot of grants. So this year we've actually given away 3 grants so far. The first, we have 2 grant programs. We have a visual arts grants program. And this year we're doing something a little different. We're doing an artist in residency program. So we're getting, I guess I can announce it officially, Scott Johnson, who many local people know, is going to be in our gallery once a week painting, and then his work will be for sale, and he's also going to be participating in all of the festivals, the Plein Air, the Spring Unveiling, and he'll be there to work with the public.
Plein Air. Now, talk about that a little bit, if you would. That's where you actually go out natural world.
That is where you go out in the natural world and paint. And we do have a few things lined up for Plein Air, but because it's so far out, I don't want to give too much detail. But we are working with a gallery group to have Scott and one of our artists, Linda Gebhardt, who's also on our board. She's going to be doing some workshops, and there's going to be artists painting around town. We're also, but before I get off track on the grants, we also offer performance grants.
Performance grants.
Yeah. So for musicians, dancers, people who do theater, anybody who's interested in a non-visual arts medium is offered an opportunity to perform in Cannon Beach and create a new work or do something related to their art form. So we've given away 2 performance grants this year. We've given away a grant to Evan Jerodek, who is going to Georgia to write a new album, and then will come back and work with us on our music camp that we're offering in the summer, and we'll also be performing some of those new works. And then the second grant that we gave away was to Adams and Costello, who are a local...
Oh, yes.
You're probably familiar. Yeah. A lot of people are familiar with them. So they're working on an album. Their next album will be... we gave them a grant to help record that album. Then they will be performing as a fundraiser for our organization.
So the Cannon Beach Arts Association isn't just visual arts. It encompasses the whole spectrum of arts, from visual to performance art
to literary,
music to literary.
And that we've really tried to, while at the same time not overlapping too much with the other arts organizations in Cannon Beach, because there are several, the Tolovana Arts Colony, the Coaster Theater, the gallery group, we try to complement those groups and provide opportunities for promotion. And so I think that there's definitely enough artists to go around amongst.
Oh my gosh, we have a lot of artists. We're blessed with a lot of artists in this area.
I agree. So we also tend to, we're trying to expand our educational opportunities through the workshops, and then we have our visual arts camp, and then we're expanding we've always offered yoga. We're actually expanding that a little bit this year and trying to get more of a dedicated space for that. And then we're also offering more music offerings for art camp. And then we're actually going to be looking at more of a dedicated space for an adult art camp as well. So we're really trying to give people multiple opportunities to work with us.
So do you get together with the other arts organizations in Cannon Beach to see where you can fit in here, what you can do in a particular area to complement the others?
Yeah, we do. So
you
we are a member of the gallery group, and we're really trying to work with them in a way that benefits our members, because we're a membership-driven organization, as KMUN is, mm-hmm. and we want to make sure we're honoring that membership, but we're also trying to support all of the arts in the community. We're actually trying to partner with Tolovana on several upcoming events, and so we'll see how that goes. We're both very busy, and we have a lot going on, so it might not necessarily work with the timing, but they're doing a summer concert series in the parks, and so that's going to be, I believe, and I hope I'm not getting this wrong, because it's definitely their program, but on Sundays in the summer, they're going to be doing some concerts in the park, and what we're hoping to do is coordinate one of our music festival that we're working mm-hmm. on. We're hoping to coordinate with them on that. And then we obviously work with the History Museum very closely, because we have our workshops
there. That's where a lot of your events are.
Yeah. And then we're also working with the Haystack Rock Awareness Program. We're trying to expand our workshops to include the arts and the environment. And so we have a series of workshops coming up that will incorporate the HRAP, Haystack Rock Awareness Program.
HRAP,
I love that name. We're hoping to incorporate their programming into some of our arts programming as well.
How about exhibits?
Our exhibits are just fantastic, and I'm glad that you asked, because I tend to get wrapped up in the events that we're doing. But right now we have...
It's easy to get wrapped up. You're doing a lot.
Yes. We have a really beautiful exhibit right now with Jan Rimmerman, Lisa Weiser, and Jannie Hoberg. And it's called Line, Light, and Layers. It's exquisite. And it's on display until February 18th. After that, we have an open call for artists, and that is going to be heritage stories. So we're looking for people to tell their own heritage story through imagery, and that can be three-dimensional or two-dimensional. Artists can submit up to three pieces. We're accepting work on the 19th, which I believe is a Monday, and all that information is available on our website.
And that's how an artist or would... get in touch with you to submit either work or apply for a grant.
Absolutely.
Or contact you about a grant.
Absolutely. They can call, they can email, they can come in person, they can go to our website. I try to be available in any way people need to talk to me. I really believe in access. So if somebody needs special accommodation, I'm happy to help.
Okay. Well, Karamiko, thank you for stopping by and telling us what's going on down at the Cannon Beach Arts Association. Sounds pretty exciting. You sound busy.
Well, thank you. I'm glad that you had us on. Thank you.
You're very welcome. Okay, folks, next up, don't go anywhere. We'll have Mike Metzner to talk about this upcoming show at the Voodoo Room in Astoria. And we are back. You're listening to Arts Live and Local here on Coast Community Radio. 91.9 KMUN in Astoria, 89.5 KTCB in Tillamook. I'm David Paul in for Carol Newman this week. Now we have Mike Metzner up, and probably no stranger to a lot of folks in this area. He's a regular down at the Voodoo and various venues.
I'm haunting the streets at night. Yes, but I'm not wearing a trench coat.
No. He's wearing a very, very catchy here, Oregon Law sweatshirt, hoodie, I guess it is. You're a blues man, aren't you?
Well, I do a lot of blues music. I play with Joey Pee Wee Patton on.
Yep.
Sheck P is our name. Mm-hmm. My nickname's Shecky. Mm-hmm. And then, so we put that together as Sheck P. And we do a lot of blues, but we also do a lot of Latin stuff and jazz and stuff with that. The act that I'm doing on Saturday at the Buddha Room is pretty much straight up jazz standards from the songbook, stuff like Duke Ellington and Harold Arlen, stuff like that.
The classics, like we just heard.
Right.
And you're going to be performing with Steve Cleveland on the keyboard.
Steve Cleveland. Steve is a fantastic piano player, and I love doing gigs with him just to hear him play, you know. So it's and I haven't got to sing with him in a while, and this is a fun act for me because I just get to sing and.
Oh, you don't have to play any instruments.
So that's why, you know, I play piano too, but I just like his playing better than mine. So, and it's just fun to, you know, it's just fun to sing. So.
And Olaf Itzti is going to join you on the as your percussionist.
Olaf Itzti is going to be laying down some rhythms for us, and he's never actually played with us or heard any of the songs, but I trust his ear. So he's going to be.
Yeah,
he's going to give us some legs. Usually it's just me and Steve, but we're playing in the Buddha Room and it's a bit lively. So I thought, you know, we need a little legs to go with that.
Little legs. I'd never heard that expression before.
I just came
before
up with it.
That's
just
why.
Now.
All I'm going to use it. I'm going to file it away and use it.
Awesome.
Now, what are some of the artists you think you're going to cover tonight or on Saturday?
Tomorrow night we'll cover, like I said, we'll do a few Duke Ellington tunes. I'm a big fan of Johnny Hartman, so I do some of the songs that he covers, and we do some Tony Bennett songs.
Oh, no kidding. You're going to do some crooning.
Do some crooning, but you know what I do is I like to get some up tunes and break it down to a ballad and do some minor tunes to kind of mix it up, so it's, you know, and I also, I do a lot of standards, but I like to pick some rare standards in there that maybe you haven't heard too, you know, along with some favorites you had heard, so.
And be some musical interludes, just instruments?
Yeah.
Well, when you take a break and
chords
a rest?
No, I, you know, Steve's a great soloist, so I just, like I said, I just love to sit and listen to him play, and he's really humble, so it's like, right, wouldn't like me saying how great he is, but
you have to shoot his horn, or because he's not going.
Right.
Enough.
Yeah.
So how'd you start playing music?
Where did it all begin? I come from a musical family, and there was many professional musicians in my family. My grandfather was a music teacher.
Oh, really?
And
high school or
he was a high school music teacher, and he also was a small town teacher, so he played,
right?
You know. Taught French and
coached basketball.
You know, but music was his main thing. And then, so we all kind of inherited that. But I used to have several other professional musicians in the family, that was my cousins and stuff. But I'm the last of the Mohicans that's still playing professionally.
Still doing it, still doing the gigs.
I got high hopes for my granddaughter.
Oh, is that right? She shows some promise.
Yes.
Nice. So jazz and blues are the favorite genres?
Well, you know, I like a lot of different kind of music. I said probably jazz and blues are my background, but I mean, if you'd ask me who my number one guy would be, James Brown. I mean, he's the guy that I grew up with listening to. And, you know, I guess for my granddad, it was probably Louis Armstrong, and my dad was Little Richard. For me, it was James Brown. But I also got into Latin music and explored that.
Uh-huh.
Played in a family Latin band for a long time.
A family Latin band.
Yeah, yeah. Uh-huh. And I wormed my way in there.
Mm-hmm. Now, did you start out on any particular instrument?
Actually, my first instrument in grade school was alto sax.
Oh, no kidding.
But then, you know, everybody was playing guitar, and I wanted to play guitar, so I started playing guitar. And then my older brother, who's no longer with us, was a great jazz piano player. But I used to look over his shoulders when he was practicing and go, "Well, what's that?" You know, and do you make
How
that a minor
that?
Key? But then he's like, yeah, you do that. Get out of practice.
Right.
Yeah. So, but I just kind of fancied piano, and I ended up playing more piano than anything, you know. But like I said, when I played with Steve, I just loved to listen to Steve So it's a good combination.
So good.
Yeah.
And when do the vocals start? When did you start singing?
When I just start singing? Oh, yeah. You know, that's funny because I couldn't sing it. You know, when you first start out, you're just trying to play chords and get through a tune. And then I was pretty shy about singing. And I joined another family band called Trio Alvarez and went to San Diego with them. They're always just like, just sing. Just find a part. Find a part somewhere. Just sing.
Just bill it out.
And I said, well, they're singing in Spanish. I don't speak Spanish. You know, well, just go ooh and ah and stuff, you know. So they kind of brought me out of my shell. And then, but really the first song that I sang completely, I think, was in Spanish. And
oh, no kidding.
Because, you know, these lead singers quit the band.
Oh.
And the maestro just handed me songs in Spanish. Goes, well, you're going to sing this one. And I was like, hey, I don't sing Spanish. Ah, just like any other song. Just
they're not going to know.
So it was good for me because then I got interested in it and started learning some songs in Spanish. So,
you know, and what's valuable about that and then just tackling something like that that you don't know or never done before, you're going to make mistakes. Of course
you are.
But,
yeah.
But you also learn by doing that, hey,
that's exactly it.
You live.
Yeah. And, you know, he pressed me a lot on my pronunciation. It's not T, it's T, 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 and use your tongue and all that and all, you know, and I just go, okay, I'll try, you know. But, yeah, so I have a lot of different influences. But, you know, this music I'm doing tomorrow night at the Voodoo Room.
At the Voodoo Room.
Saturday, 9 o'clock sharp we start.
9 o'clock sharp.
And there's no cover or anything, so... Oh. So. You can spend all your money on drinks. Not too many. Take a cab. But,
yep, that's right. Have a plan.
But it'll be fun. I think it'll be a real fun time, you know. But, yeah, I just have always had a lot of different influences. But this is kind of a special thing for me. Don't get to do it that often. So I hope some people come in. And
plus, the Voodoo Room has that new atmosphere now with those nice new windows in the front.
There it is. Not we, you know, a lot of us kind of protested because it's kind of our cave, you know. We don't can't see in there, and so it was kind of like it took a lot to get used to at first. It's kind of like windows, people can see in. Oh no! But it looks a lot nicer now. It looks more inviting, and it's I'm
lights.
Used to it now, and it's lighter and. Yeah.
Has it affected the sound or the acoustics at all?
I don't think so, but no, I don't think so. I can't trying to remember if I played there since they put the windows in. But the thing I miss is all the voodoo stuff that was on that wall.
Oh,
there.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like the big giant green head and all the skeleton heads and all that stuff. So I hope they put some of that stuff back. But
find another place for it, although the walls are pretty...
pretty packed already.
Pretty packed, yeah.
Yeah, but it's got a good sound in there for a little room, and it's, you know, it's... It's cozy and nice. It's a nice atmosphere. And Josh Bear, who plays with us sometimes on upright bass, the bartender. It's a great mixologist and a great conversationalist, so it's a good place to have a drink.
So all around good time. And all around
reckon.
Good time is guaranteed for all. The
well,
time is guaranteed
I can't
for all.
Guarantee, but I reckon you'll have a pretty good time.
You'll do your best. Now, that's coming up on Saturday.
That's tomorrow night, Saturday the 27th, yeah.
That's Voodoo.
Yeah.
Down on Marine Drive.
Yep, the corner of 11th Marine Drive. It's where the Columbia Theater is. It's the bar that's in that same building there. Yeah.
Now, that gig is coming up on Saturday. You have any others in store?
Oh, yeah. So, Shaq P, that's me and Joey, we're going to be playing at the Bridgewater Bistro next month for Sunday brunch. And we're playing Luminary Arts, not this coming, but the next. We usually play every month, but we're not playing next month. But you can see us at the Art Walk at Luminary Arts a lot.
Yeah. Second Saturday Art Walk.
And then we used to play every Wednesday at the Voodoo Room. But we decided when we come, we're having a CD release. By the way,
really?
It's called Live at the Voodoo Room.
Shaq you're
P.
kidding.
Yeah, and we're going to release it at
so
the Voodoo
been,
Room.
So you've been recording?
Yeah, we recorded the last time we played there, and I think we got a pretty good, you know, little recording, so we're going to release it.
And when is that?
We're shooting for, it's not totally sure, but we're shooting for the first Wednesday in March at the Voodoo Room.
First Wednesday in March at the Voodoo.
We're going to be playing, instead of every Wednesday, we're going to be playing every first Wednesday at the Voodoo Room, henceforth.
Now, you recorded down there. Now, where did you have it produced? And, gosh, you got to do the pr- production and the packaging? And
yeah,
the whole...
well, we're a friend of ours named Steve Johnson came to record us, and so we did the mix down and stuff at his house. We're sending it up to Portland, and we're just getting a CD out. I'd like to put an album, you know, vinyl out, but it's not cost effective. So, but yeah, quite happy with what came out of it. And I really didn't think we were going to get all that much out of it, you know, because you tend to like concentrate on mistakes instead of good
sure.
stuff.
Yeah.
So I'm like, well, I don't know. Let's have a listen, you know. I was quite pleasantly
Sounds
surprised.
Good.
So, yeah.
Well, when it comes out, you got to make sure that we get a copy of it here at the station.
Straight away. That's the first one.
You
getting
bet.
The first one.
You bet. We'll play it. Well, Mike Metzner. Also, Shecky Metzner, going to be with Steve Cleveland on the keyboards and Olaf Itzti on the drums, giving him legs.
Giving me legs.
At,
yes.
This Saturday, 9 o'clock sharp at the Voodoo Room on Marine Drive in downtown Astoria. Thanks for stopping by, Mike.
My pleasure.
We'll
Thanks for having me.
See you on Saturday. And right. Don't go away. Stay right where you are because we're going to talk to some young up-and-coming jazz artists when we come back. You're listening to Coast Community Radio. We are back. You're listening to Talk of Our Towns here on Coast Community Radio. I'm David Paul, sitting in for Carol Newman this week, who's enjoying herself up in beautiful British Columbia. And now I'm joined by Jeremy Johnson. He's the Astoria School District Band Director and jazz band student, Nick Reibold. Welcome, guys.
Thank you.
Thanks for stopping by. Yeah, get your mic on there. Jeremy, now let's try.
All right, there I am.
Oh, there we go. That sounds better. Nick?
Mine's on.
Good. Well, let's talk about benefit concert that's coming, a benefit performance that's coming up.
Absolutely, yeah. It's next week, January 30th. January 30th. And it's a great thing that Fort George Brewery does for nonprofits, and we're one of the nonprofits they're doing this for. It's a fundraiser. The jazz band's going to be there to play the jazz band plays between 6 and 8, and then from 4:30 to 9 o'clock, the Fort George donates a portion of their proceeds to the program.
Mm-hmm. And it's going to be down in the Lovell Showroom down there on 14th and Duane. Is that right?
It's going to be the upstairs.
Oh, it's going to be upstairs by the pizza oven.
Yeah.
Up in the live performance venue up there.
Yeah.
Now, how big is the jazz band?
Jazz band is 22 kids.
Oh, my gosh. That's substantial.
Yeah, it's grown.
And as far as instrumentation goes, what do you have there?
It's your standard jazz band. We have trumpets, trombones, saxophones, bass. We have a vibraphone player.
You got vibes, too.
And then we have a drummer and a couple drummers in the group, and we all have a lot of fun. And Nick is actually a sax player.
Yep. Oh, yeah. Which sax? Alto, tenor?
Alto and tenor.
Oh, both?
Yep.
Depending on the number, huh?
Depending on the band. The jazz band, I play alto sax. And uh-huh. concert band, I play tenor sax.
Now, what drew you to the saxophone in the first place? I know back in fifth grade, you have at least if it's the same way as it was when I was in fifth grade, you have all the instruments laid out there in a room, and you get to try each one. And
I played piano in sixth grade, and it was boring. So I was like, I'm going to choose something I don't know how to play. And
apologies to the keyboardists out there.
I still like playing keyboard, and it's fun. But the class was boring. Orchestra was boring.
Oh, but, okay.
So I chose something completely different, and it was saxophone. So.
Mm-hmm. And what do you like about the sax, other than it's not boring?
It just has a good range, I guess. I like it a lot. It's very jazzy. I like jazz music, so yeah. That's one reason.
Who are some of your favorite artists and inspirations?
I don't know. I don't really pay attention to that, honestly. Listen to whatever there's.
Now, what's going to be on the program for the?
We have a number of pieces, jazz pieces. We're doing some classics. We're doing In the Mood.
In the Mood.
And then we've got some other popular swing pieces. We also have some Latin pieces.
So what are some of those?
One is called Caribbean Dance, one of our favorites. Cool. We'll close the night with that.
Nick likes that one.
I do. We enjoy that one. It's a lot of fun. There's another one called El Burrito Picante and the Chamber of Doom.
The piquant burrito.
the spicy burrito and the Chamber of Doom. It's a silly name. It's a really fun piece to play, though.
It is, yeah.
What do you like about it?
There's a lot of eighth notes, which it provides a little bit of a challenge. It's pretty fun. It's just like it flows pretty well, honestly. Like, if you can get all the right notes and everything, it sounds really nice.
Now, how about solos, Nick? Are we going to hear any solos out of you?
Yeah.
Oh,
at least no, there's two. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. All right. What do you think about that? Are you a little nervous about that?
No, not at all.
No, you've got it down. You've got it down.
Yeah.
I remember I played trombone.
Awesome.
In a jazz band when I was in high school. And I remember the solos. All of a sudden, they say, okay, you're going to have a solo in this piece. And, oh, really? Yeah, that's cool. Just show me the music. Oh, there is no music.
Yeah.
Yeah. How did you overcome that? You don't have any music written in front of you for these solos.
You look at the key signature and play, mostly. Make sure to follow the chords. Yeah, that's it.
Listen to the chords and know what notes are in that scale.
Yep.
And there you go. And you got her licked then. Now, this is going to be a fundraiser for the band.
Yeah, for the band. Actually, it goes through the Astoria Band Boosters, which is a wonderful and very active nonprofit organization that helps get things that we need, like new instruments. We have a lot of needs in a quickly growing program here at Astoria. A lot of old instruments. Some of the things they're doing at this particular fundraiser, in addition to the getting the proceeds from Fort George, we also have a raffle, and there's a number of really cool items on the raffle. So,
what are some of those?
We have Cannon Beach Cottage Weekend with a $70 gift certificate to the Wayfarer Restaurant. $50 gift certificate from Bill's Tavern. There's a pilot boat ride.
Oh, that would be fun.
Those are cool.
That would be a blast.
I'd like to try that one. I'd like to go
if
that.
If the water's smooth.
Yeah. right? Like, well, it could be fun either way, right?
Oh, boy.
you could also pamper yourself basket, including a spa treatment. There's jewelry, there's artwork, and there's more. We get a lot of support from members of the community, from businesses who are willing to donate items for these things, and so that we can, you know, raise the money we need to meet the needs and the growing needs of the band.
Well, gosh, if you got 22 musicians in the jazz band, I can only imagine how large your regular band is.
Yeah, the Wind Symphony has quite a few members. We're at around 58.
Wow,
that's in that group.
That's a good sized ensemble.
Yeah, it fluctuates, but yeah.
And there's also an orchestra program too. But,
there is, and then they're great, and they also have needs and have the ability if they desire to draw from the band boosters. So,
now you mentioned old instruments.
Yeah.
And instruments, they don't last forever.
Yeah. No. We've got a room full of old and broken French horns. Almost every one has something really wrong with it, and we have timpani I think the insignia says patent pending on some of them.
Geez.
so that tells you how old our timpani are. We did the Nutcracker, and I was involved in the Nutcracker as a musician, as a French horn player, the local performance here at the high school, and the percussionist pulled me aside and said, "You have to get new timpani. You have to get new timpani. I can't imagine how difficult it is for percussionists to play effectively on these timpani." So, and that's a big bill.
Oh yeah, the heads on those things are expensive.
Well,
just the mechanism.
We need brand new timpanis themselves. It's the whole thing. It needs an overhaul. And there's several other needs like that in the band, both needs for material and also for, you know, for other things that we do as a group.
And you have to buy music too.
Yeah, every year. And music is that bill, it builds. Now we do get some help from the school. In recent years, the school has, in the district, the school district has been kind enough to and good enough as in their budget meetings to allot some money for that, but it runs out pretty quick.
And I'm thinking about the timpanis especially. A lot of people don't realize that a timpani is one of the percussion instruments. Well, I think it's the percussion instrument where you actually play notes.
Mm-hmm.
It's up and down. It's just not a single note. You have to tune it.
Uh-huh. Yeah. It's a delicate thing. And in order to play it well, you need good equipment, especially if you're learning.
You need a good ear. Now, does the school district provide instruments for most of the students, or are they expected to provide their own?
Most of the students have their own instruments. We do have some of the more expensive ones, but they're also getting old.
And need replacing. Now, this performance coming up is a benefit going for the band boosters. What other programs do you have to help fund the music program?
What other
like events or I know that occasionally you collect bottles and cans.
Mm-hmm. Yep, the first Sunday of every month is our can and bottle drive there at the high school. And so if you have cans or bottles, bring it on down and we load up our truck, and it's a really good fundraiser for us.
And that's first Sunday of every month.
Mm-hmm.
And that funds the jazz band, the symphonic band, the marching band.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the marching band is a big bill as well. So yeah,
because there's transportation involved with that.
Uh-huh, transportation and props and staff. It takes a staff to be able to run a marching band and food for the students. It's substantial.
And I understand the marching band has won awards.
Yes, indeed. This last season, our percussion out in Auburn, Washington, in their competition, we placed in the street marching competition, and also the percussion won a best percussion, high percussion award.
Oh, no kidding.
Uh-huh, yeah.
And what were some of the competitors there?
Bands throughout the Pacific Northwest. We competed against Washington, Oregon, and Oregon schools in our division.
Wow. Well, that's a feather in your cap. Now, Nick, have you been to any, does the band go to, like the jazz band, go to any jazz competitions?
I assume so. This is my first year doing jazz band. So.
Oh, your first year?
Yeah.
How you like it so far as far as
it's great.
The regular band?
I really enjoy it. Mm-hmm. It's fun. It's the first thing I do every morning. So.
Is that right? Get up and practice?
Well, yeah. Jazz bands are zero period. It starts at 7 o'clock.
Oh, okay. 7 o'clock in the morning and you're playing. My goodness. Wow.
That's a good way to start the day.
Mm-hmm. You kind of get you in the groove. Mm-hmm. And so that event, that fundraiser, is coming up at Fort George Pub and Brewery on the second floor up in the pizza area, mm-hmm. or the live venue area. Coming up on Tuesday, January 30th. And the proceeds go to support the Astoria Band Boosters.
That's correct.
All right. Well, good luck. And I hope you have a great turnout. Make a lot of money for something that's very, very valuable, a music program at Astoria School District. Jeremy Johnson, Astoria School District Band Director and Jazz Band Director, thanks for stopping by. Nick Reibold, thanks for stopping by. Keep practicing on that saxophone. Going to do something with it after high school, you think?
Hopefully, yeah.
Yeah, college, maybe music, major in music? Or
hoping so, yeah.
That'll be great. All right, well, thanks for stopping by, guys.
Thanks for having us.
Next Tuesday, January 30th, at the Fort George Pub and Brewery. Benefit performance for the Astoria Band Boosters. And that's about it.